All right. Today we've got Braden Berry.
How's it going?
He's a natural on the mic. A famous musician with actually a song on Spotify. What's the song called? We got to plug that.
Soundtrack of Our Summer.
You don't even know the name of your song.
I couldn't remember.
It's a long pause.
I couldn't remember.
You have new music dropping? When's that?
Hopefully the first or second week of February.
It's coming up, dude.
What, I know. Month?
I'm just happy to be your music manager.
I know. We're glad to have you on board for the Braden Berry Band.
First client. I have absolutely zero credentials, but here we are.
Sometimes that's the best.
As we saw last year, you can get very high positions without any credentials.
I'll tell you what. That's the truth.
Oh, that's good. So, music. When did you start playing?
I started playing probably when I was like 15. And didn't really do much with it because it's not really cool to sing as a dude in middle school and high school.
No?
So.
I don't know. My dad always told me that was a thing to pick up chicks.
Maybe later in life. But so I did that. And then my senior year of high school, I had a guitar class. And at our school, you had a senior song. So they played at graduation. But one of the seniors sang it.
Yeah.
So me and my buddy were like, hey, we should just audition for it. Like a brand new school. I'd only been going there, like obviously that year, didn't know anybody. And I was like, okay, let's send it. So we played and we got nominated by the music teacher. And then we had to play in front of the entire senior class. And we went up against like three cheerleaders who wrote a song for the graduation. And then somehow we got chose for it. So then I sang at high school graduation for like 3,000 people. And I was like, damn.
That
I need to do this.
Great. Is that the biggest crowd you've performed?
Yeah, for sure.
Dude,
yeah.
That's sick. So then when did you move to Nashville? Because you played a lot when you were there.
That was late, yeah.
Okay.
I played, when I was in the Navy, I probably played the most shows just with some of my buddies who had bands there.
Gotcha.
And then I actually didn't play at all when I lived in Nashville. I just worked.
Interesting. So you didn't play at any of the bars or anything?
Nope.
Dang, bro. That's why you got to move back.
I know.
When are we moving there?
Maybe next year, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to pack my bags and become a full-time music manager for Braden Berry. It will blow that up.
Now we're talking.
I'm down. I'm so down. So you were in military. How long were you there? You were
in the Navy? I was in, yeah, Navy, for nice. 2 years.
Heck yeah. Did you like it?
Hated every second of it. No, I hated most of it, but I just hated, like, it's like the ultimate micromanaging thing. Like, imagine showing up for work every morning, and it's like high school, and they're like, all right, stand in formation. Dale, are you here? Braden, are you here? And if you're not there, you better have a good excuse.
Were you ever not there?
Oh, a couple times.
What for?
Well, one time I was in Nashville recording, actually, but I told them that I was sick and that I had what did I tell them? I had food poisoning. And so they told me, okay, well, go to the doctor and get a note. And I was like, man, this is really awkward. So I was like, okay, I'll go. And so I just knew a doctor at the hospital's name, so I was like, all right, yeah, I went to this guy. And he was like, oh, did you? Because I know that guy. And I was like, oh no. So I was like, all right, yeah, I went to him. And my boss called me like an hour and a half later, and that was not a good phone call. Man, it was not a good phone call.
I believe that. You couldn't blame it on COVID back then?
No, sadly not. I'm sure I would have.
Yeah. Dang. So when you release your music, are you going to drop a full album?
Or is I think I'm going to just do one song at a time.
Yeah.
Just so I can, like, there's really no point in dropping a whole album at a time unless you're gigantic.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's kind of the new thing. Like, I thought it was cool what Hardy did with his latest, like, Hicks Tape album, where he released, like, a new song each week, but it was, like, half of them weren't even him.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, a compilation of like, a bunch of songs they did together and released them. I thought that was kind of a cool way to release an album, just do one a week.
Yeah, it helps with, like, smaller, like, independent artists, just, like, if you release one, like, say I do it every single month, then that gives people time to listen to it and stream it, and then hopefully it can get picked up by like a Spotify algorithm or something and then build better traction.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, Spotify and that has kind of changed that.
Oh, yeah.
Of why you would do it that way. I mean, I guess it's kind of similar to like I have no idea how that algorithm works.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think there's like a certain amount of like if so many people save it and like there's a pre-save and that all goes into like the day it releases and something. I've like listened to a bunch of podcasts about it, but they don't really release like how they run the metrics and stuff for it. So
which
it's
is
hard
the
to...
same. Like Google's the same way. Like they don't release how they rank things because then everybody just games the system. And,
exactly.
You know. All right, so let's go gym. Okay. let's talk gym. So gym. You work out quite a bit. CrossFit still?
No, not CrossFit anymore.
What are you doing now? You did CrossFit for what? A few months?
I think 6 months.
We're 6 months. I'm really off with my months.
Yeah.
I told Avery that he was married for 6 months. He was like, it's been two. I was like, well, I was kind of close.
Hey, time flies when you're not quarantining.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, yeah, I don't know if I was ever doing that, but you know. So what are you doing now?
I'm just going to go back to LA doing the bodybuilding stuff.
The bro gym.
Yeah. Back to the Gymshark stringers and all the goodies.
The what is that, like douchebag starter pack?
Yeah, essentially. But honestly though, like I was like, man, I'll feel like a tool wearing this stringer. And then like I wore it, and honestly it's nice because like you don't really want to take your shirt off because then you're like an ultimate tool. I mean, unless you're at CrossFit.
That's the best thing about CrossFit.
Oh, absolutely.
Only thing that keeps me coming back.
Yeah. So, like, the stringer gives you, like, you can basically see your whole upper body, essentially, just, but you're wearing a t-shirt. So, I love them.
I feel like it's equivalent to, like, girls wearing those, like, thong bikini bathing suits.
Probably.
It's essentially the same.
Yeah, I would.
One might just look a little better than the other.
Yeah, me and a stringer, but, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. So, you're big on health.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
I'm scared to even get into this topic, honestly, because the odds of being canceled are probably fairly high, but we're gonna do it anyway. So health in relation to, well, since it's relevant, we'll bring it with COVID. That's kind of the new thing. Even Joe Rogan brought it out. And I think it was, what, CNN or somebody?
Yeah, CNN finally posted. Came around. Yeah.
Yeah, so like what are your thoughts on health, COVID? I guess how it hasn't been a focal point or even a point at all made. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think as people find more and more out about COVID and everything, there's still like a giant underlying factor, which is your health. And people don't want to talk about it, but that's fine because they think that you can be any shape or size and be beautiful. Sure, you can be, but you're not healthy. So... I think the stats are it triples your risk of dying from COVID by being obese. And I think obese is like what, 20% BMI, 24% BMI, which
I think it's, yeah. I mean, for guys, I think it's like 20.
Okay. Which like people don't realize there's a lot of people that are considered obese by BMI. So,
so I think it's like what, 67, 68%.
Yeah, I think so.
Are considered overweight based on the BMI.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fair metric to do it on like a macro scale of like an entire country. I do, however, think BMI is the shoddiest way to ever. Like technically, I'm in that 67%.
Yeah.
I'm like 25.5, so technically I'm obese.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, I think that's absolute absurdity.
Yeah, I think it definitely, it has its like weak points, but overall, like, I mean... It's not hard to look at somebody and be like, you're guaranteed obese. And
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, that's the thing. So, like, that might be inflated a little bit, but even say it's 50% of people out of control. And I think the problem is we've gone to a society where we just look for a Band-Aid as opposed to looking at what the problem is and providing a solution at the roots of the problem. That's not even COVID. That's just in general with every single... health concern that's in America right now.
Oh, absolutely. And people are so scared to hurt somebody's feelings, and they just like, if you hurt somebody's feelings, boom, your life's over unless you work for CNN. So yeah. I mean I ain't even gonna say, but you can like, you can say something to someone, like, if you approach someone who's overweight, and you'd be like, hey, like, I mean, it's a hard way to come about it, but it's like, hey, you're overweight, like, you're hurting yourself in the long run, like, you're not healthy, regardless of if you eat 18 salads a day, whatever. If you start eating now, yes, you're eating healthy, but you're still not healthy because it takes so many years or months to get over all those bad habits and the unhealthiness you created in your body.
To do it, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, like, what is the problem? Because I would assume, this is just a guess, I'm not entirely sure, but of those 67% of people in America that are overweight, I would probably take a guess that 99.9% of them do not want to be overweight, I would assume.
Yeah.
I've never met a person that said, I want to be fat as hell, I'm looking to be 350 and sit on a couch all day. Like,
true.
I don't think that's a, I don't think it's anything that has ever happened. I don't know. It's weird. But I guess the thing is, I mean, what I'm getting at is people know that, okay, I shouldn't eat this or I don't want to be overweight. Most people have an understanding of what they should or shouldn't do. So the issue is, they just don't do it. But for what reason? Like, how do you construct somebody? Like, if I know, okay, if I eat salad and my caloric intake is at like 1500 calories per day, I will lose weight. Theoretically, and probably in reality, I'm guaranteed to lose weight.
Yeah.
But most people won't do that. So, like, why?
That is a wonderful question. I think people get lazy and also, like, complacent. And I think, too, with people, like, because, I mean, I'm not, like, the world's biggest guy, but I used to be, like, 30 pounds skinnier. Yeah. And, like, it's so hard to see the end in sight when you're just starting out. So I think, too, like, when someone decides, okay, hey, I want to get healthy, whatnot, it's so hard for them to wrap their mind around that they could actually achieve this goal. And then, like, I'll see on TikTok all the time, there'll be, like, a guy or a girl, and they will post pictures of them when they were extremely overweight, and then they'll post pictures of getting in the gym and being, like, skinny and extremely healthy.
Yeah.
Not just skinny, because skinny's not healthy, but healthy. And, like, the comments are like, oh, you were beautiful before and now, and, like, oh, you still looked good in the beginning. And I'm like, as a society, we've got to stop, like, coddling people. You got, like, people just need the truth. Like, hey, like, yes, sure, you're beautiful, but you're extremely unhealthy and you're killing your body.
Yeah, and I think that's two separate things. I mean, I feel like in most cases that is this, but in most cases that is women that would say something like that.
Yeah,
like, there's no guy that's going to say, oh, dude, you looked way better, like, with that freaking dad bod. Like, no, I don't know a guy that would ever say that. And I think that comes about because women are more focused on their appearance. I mean, we can go into an entire, psychological reason as to why that is.
Yeah.
But in essence, like, in our society, women are more judged on their appearance than men are.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. And I think that is kind of the reason why they're like, oh, well, like, you were beautiful before and you're beautiful after. But I don't know where I stand on it, because, like, it's difficult in a sense. I mean,
yeah, it's hard to say, because it's like, that person is a beautiful person, but it's just masked by laziness and being undisciplined.
So, I mean, because you can't go up to the person and say, hey, like, either you're beautiful on the inside, but ugly as hell on the outside. But you also can't go up to him and be like, hey, if you lost 100 pounds, you'd be very beautiful. Like, so how do you go about it? Like, how would you even?
That's
I mean, obviously you wouldn't do it to, like, a stranger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You would do it to somebody that's, like, meaningful, like your your parents or your significant other, maybe, which I feel like that might be a difficult conversation as well.
No.
But I think there's a right and wrong way to go about the conversation. That I think is semi-walking on thin ice, and yeah, that's be a tough conversation.
I think our society as a whole has gotten so, like, just, like, going back to the hurting the feelings thing, they're like, oh, we can never hurt anybody's feelings. And I'm like, yes, sure, it will hurt someone's feelings, possibly. If I got extremely overweight and someone told me, hey, like, you're fat, would that hurt my feelings? Sure, but I made those decisions to lead me to that area of my life, so therefore, I should take responsibility. I think people just don't take responsibility for their actions and want to just blame it on somebody else and then take the easy way out, like you were saying.
So it's essentially like the victim mentality.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because that's a whole nother topic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's strange. Like, it's hard for me to understand because I personally would appreciate it if somebody came up to me and said, hey, you're fat as hell. You need to lose weight if you want to live past 70. My ass would be in the gym for 4 hours a day if somebody ever came up to me.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that most others would not agree with that. They'd probably say, F you, and you're a piece of crap, and I never want to talk to you again.
Yeah, and then you'd get canceled on social media.
Yeah, God forbid you'd post that on social media.
Yeah.
Don't follow Braden Berry. If you would be offended by that comment, don't follow Braden.
That's true.
But no, I mean, I think it's a societal thing.
Yeah, I agree.
To an extent where, I don't know, dude, millennials are just softer.
That is true. And I'll say, you can tell somebody something till you're blue in the face, regardless of how many facts you present. And until they get it in their mind that they need to do it, they ain't going to do it.
Well, dude, that's the whole, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Most people know that being overweight is not healthy. That's, I assume, is common knowledge. I don't care what kind of education you
have. You would assume.
You would think. But yeah, that's, you got anything else on health? You get that out of your system? I wanted to start with it.
Get in the gym. Whatever the gym. Whatever you do, just get in the gym.
Heck yeah.
That's what I got to say about that.
Do it. Even if you're in LA Fitness with one of those little, what are those called?
A stringer.
A stringer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a...
Just link it in the show notes for my good people. It's a tank top, but skimpier.
It's like a freaking wife beater, but for a douche.
Essentially. But it's amazing at the same time.
I tell you what, I've never worn one of those in my life. And the day that I do, you better smack me.
I'll be giving it to you.
That's all, that's all I know. So let's hop to marriage. You're newly married. I'll get it right. I think roughly 2 months, 2.5, maybe three months. Okay. I was under, cause you were right next to Avery.
Yeah. I was in the beginning of October,
2 or 3 weeks apart or so.
I think three weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Nice. So how is the married life?
It's good. It's good. We got a spot up near the Braves Stadium, so that's hype.
Yeah, dude, that place is sweet.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. So it's been an adjustment. It's been a lot of fun, though. Dual income smacks. Nicole's great. She cooks every night. She's super into health and healthy meals and non-toxic. So we got non-toxic pans, non-toxic cleaners, non-toxic everything. So
you have no toxins in the house.
Yes, essentially. The only toxins I bring in are curs. Some good old curs.
Nice. Some curs, meaning like
Coors Light, baby.
Love that. So you somehow, Braden Berry, this is what I'm trying to wrap my head around. Braden Berry finds a woman that cooks every night, has a good job.
A great job.
Loves God. Like, I can go down the freaking list. How did Braden go about finding her?
Well, thanks to your other podcast guest, Avery Harrison. Avery and Drew Moody, which I'm sure the podcast will hear from eventually. Avery and Drew and a couple other guys had an apartment, and Nicole and her friends just happened to live directly underneath them. And so one day I came over, and all the bros were over. And one of my buddies knew Nicole beforehand, and he was like, hey, Nicole, come up. And she was like, okay, I will. And she came upstairs, and I was just like, just absolutely just reckless. And later that night, I was like, hey, Nicole, it's nice to meet you. Just so you know, we're going to get married. And she was like, okay, wow.
And the first time meeting.
The first time I ever met her.
I love that story.
And so, like, months and weeks went by, and I'd ask her to hang out. She'd say no, and then friends would hang out, and she'd be like, okay, well, you can come to this if you want. So it took forever.
How long is forever?
I think it took, like, 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
Maybe.
So you were persistent for 4 or 5 months.
Yes. And I'm also her first ever boyfriend, too. First and last. I hope.
Hopefully. Yeah.
She ain't got no side pieces. Yeah. Nicole, if you listen to this.
That was great. So, dude, that's cool. So, how did you know, though? How did you know that you were going to marry her? Or were you just, like, talking shit?
I was a little bit talking shit. Yeah, that's, like, just what I do. Yeah. I talk a lot of shit. But also, I think, like, earlier in life, I, like, wrote down the things that I wanted in a wife. And, like, she really did check all those boxes. And so I was like, you know, I've done the dating thing. I've been crazy. I've done all those good party things. And I was like, you know, like, she's got everything that you would want in, like, a wife, like, a best friend, all that. So I was like, you know, I need to make sure I capitalize on this. And it just ended up, we just liked each other more and more, and the love grew every day. So it just happened slowly but surely, and now we're married 2 years later.
Heck yeah, dude. So yeah, y'all dated what? How long did y'all date before the engagement?
I think it was a year and a half. So we started dating in November, and then the next year we just dated, and then so it was like a year and like 4 or 5 months, because we got married like the following April.
Engaged.
Engaged.
Engaged. I was like, wait, that wedding was April?
Yeah, we got engaged on her birthday. Yeah. So, and then we got married either 6 or 8 months.
Yeah. Heck yeah, dude. I'm trying to learn from all these married men.
Hey, man, you just got to send it.
Uh-oh. Elko. Oh, boy. Sorry about that. We're getting phone calls.
Getting some phone calls.
Gotta love it. So what else you want to talk about, dude? We can go COVID route.
No.
we should shy away from that.
Yeah. Let's what should we talk about?
Let's talk about Austin, dude.
Okay, yeah.
I actually just booked an apartment I'm looking at right now, or an Airbnb in Austin for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to what, a music?
Yeah, so it's has Dale is my new music manager. Basically, there's a DIY, obviously do-it-yourself, like musician conference thing in Austin they put on every year, and it's big, and they get big managers to come through and a ton of people, just like great networking and stuff. And so we're going to hit that, do our best to network a bunch. We're going to get there early so we can explore the town, do some drinking.
Yeah, we're going to be there a while. If anybody's in Austin in August, let me know. We're going to be there, what, a week?
Yep. Yeah. A week. Taking the Tacovas out. So it'll be a lot of fun. I think I'll try to get a couple bars to like play at a couple bars that weekend or something to get that lined up. And then we can just go from there, see who we can meet. And hopefully by then the music's really rolling.
Yeah, because you'll have probably all of those songs out. How many are there?
Right now I've got 5 recorded.
Yeah, 5. So like those will all probably be out by then, by August.
Yeah, they should be, or close to it.
Yeah, sweet, dude. So we'll have some new music to rock with.
New music, music videos. Yeah, so I've been sitting on it for a while.
When's that one dropping?
So that's
gonna be a
waiting.
Banger. Yeah, that's gonna be a banger. I already know.
So I've got that one, and really I'm just waiting. I've got a call next week with that marketing agency.
Yeah.
About like what our game plan is gonna be for this coming year. And so really it all depends on what they think and whatnot, but I've got it all recorded, ready to go. Like got my like Spotify Canvas stuff, which is like the video playing in the background when you're on Spotify. So I've got all that set up. Everything's ready to go. Just waiting for them to tell me when to shoot.
Heck yeah, dude. Gonna freaking kill it. I'm ready for it.
Same. It's been a long time. I've been recording music. So I recorded all these songs in 2019. And now it's 2022.
And that's when you released that other song, right? What is it? Summer or something?
Soundtrack of Our Summer.
Soundtrack of Our Summer. That was 2019 too, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah. So it's just, I've been waiting. Like the time's never been right. I've never had, didn't have a lot of money. And then like once I was ready to do it, like COVID hit and then I lost my job. And then I was like, ugh. So then I sold everything music I had except my guitar and my microphone. And so I could pay baby mama and child support.
Yeah, damn, what was that? That was 2020?
Yeah, yeah. And because since I, I was transitioning jobs. And so since I left the job to go to my next job, which is at Georgia Power, I didn't get unemployment because I technically left. So all these people are cashing fat unemployment checks. I was not.
How long were you unemployed?
From February until, February until October. October I started working for Georgia Power, but before that I worked for Amazon for a couple months.
That's right, you were driving for a while.
I was slinging some packages.
Heck yeah, dude. So you went from freaking broke during COVID to rich with a wife.
And a half. crazy what'll happen.
Man, if that doesn't give you some freaking hope.
Exactly. That's another piece of advice. If you are on the dating scene, if you are looking for a woman, do not marry a girl. I mean, there could be a good exception to this rule, but I'm going to go ahead and say you should not marry a woman that is not providing for herself and striving to be a better woman. I did the thing with the girl without a job, which granted different circumstances, but going from that to this is such a blessing. Like the stress you had from being the only income, all that is not there. It's just so much better. So much better.
I would agree. I would even, this might upset some people too, but I have a bone to pick.
I love it.
With women that, like, have you ever met a girl that, like, says that she's striving, like, her life goal is to be a stay-at-home mom?
A couple. Like, which, I will say, I don't mind that. Is, like my sister stays at home, but she's got four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just waiting for them to get out of the house so she can go back and get a job. Yeah. But
so, I don't have a problem with it. When I do have a problem with, like, that's a great goal. Like, that's fine. But when I do have a problem with it is when a girl, that's her goal, and she's literally doing nothing because she doesn't have kids yet. So, like, you can't fulfill that goal until you have kids, obviously. But they're not really doing anything until then. Like, even say, like, in Nicole's situation. Like, she has a really good job right now. Like, she's striving. Like, that's, even if she were a stay-at-home mom in a few years or whatever, though, that having the job and stuff is, like, she's being prepared for being a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing nothing and you're just, like, sitting on the couch, like, oh, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom at some point, then, like, what are you doing up until then? And you're not going to be prepared, in my opinion, to be a mom by doing nothing.
I agree 100%. I think, honestly, everyone should have a job, whether you like it or hate it. Cause, like, I hear people all the time, we're like, well, I don't want to do that because I don't like it. Like, you think I wake up every day and I'm like, damn, I get to go make Georgia Power some money? Hell no.
Yeah.
Like, half the time I hate it. Some days I don't care and I'm, like, feeling better about it. But it pays the bills. It funds my music. And the goal is to get out of this job and make something else that's my passion pay the bills.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're not using a job to, like, have, like, as a stepping stone to pay for your passion or pay for something till you get out of that rut, honestly, you're wasting your life.
Yes. Working your life away.
Yeah, exactly. For what? $500,000 when you retire because they matched your 401k 6%? Get out of my face. Absolute trash.
It's a long time. That's banking on you live that long.
Yeah. And banking on your company doesn't go bankrupt and all that stuff.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think everybody should have a job, yes, that is capable to work. But I will also argue that being a stay-at-home mom is, I would argue, a job.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, especially if you have, like, four kids like that. That's a full-time freaking job that I wouldn't want to be anywhere near.
And like, we have Wilder every other weekend, and Nicole's even like, having Wilder full-time would be rough. She's like, I am not ready to be a mom. So, I mean, it takes a lot to be a stay-at-home mom. So, yes, if you are a stay-at-home mom, that is by far a massive job. You're doing the laundry. You're cooking. You're taking care of the kid, too. You're doing a whole bunch of stuff. So, that is absolutely a job.
That's a a job that I would, did not go to college for and never want to.
It's rough.
Don't want to sign up for it. Yeah, the whole stay-at-home dad trend is, understand that.
I mean, I wouldn't mind Nicole making me a stay-at-home dad.
He said, I'll do some dang dishes.
Hey, I'll do some
dishes. Ready.
I'll change some diapers. Don't you worry.
I'm ready. So your shirt says world's greatest dad.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Let's hear this story.
Oh, gosh. So this story. So me being me, me and one of my buddies, as everyone always, everyone goes thrifting. So a trend in our times with the youth would be to call people daddy. So me being a degenerate saw this shirt that says world's greatest dad at Goodwill. And I said, this would be hilarious to buy and wear. So I bought it and I was wearing it probably in the summer, probably 4 months before I found out that I was going to be a dad. So I bought it before I was going to be a dad and just so happened that I turned into a dad.
If that's not speaking something into existence, I don't know what is. That's freaking great. So how is it being a dad?
Oh, it's great. There's a lot of challenges and stuff with co-parenting and just being a dad in general.
Yeah.
But I think overall, like, you really don't see how much, like, your parents care about you until you have your own kid. Because, I was like, okay, I'll have a kid. That'll be great. Like, whatever. And then I was like, sometimes I wouldn't be able to see or something. And I'd just, like, cry and stuff. Like, you really develop, like, a love for, like, your child beyond what you even thought was, like, imaginable.
I've been told that once you have a kid, you look at, like, all, like, babies and, like, other kids, like, completely different.
Yeah.
Like, me right now, like, if I'm on a plane and there's a baby crying, I'm pissed off and I'm like, shut the hell up. And I've been told, though, that, like, once you have a kid, you look at it completely differently.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree. Like, before I had a kid, like, I would be at a restaurant and like hear a loud baby and I'm like, wow, they can't get their baby under control. But then being in the opposite seat, I'm like, okay, I take Wilder out to eat and she's going crazy and I like feel horrible. I'm like, oh gosh, all these people at this restaurant hate me. Like, please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Yeah, and we do.
Yeah.
So, you are correct.
Yeah. So it's definitely much, much different.
Yeah.
And it's just like, different, especially since I only get her like ever so often. It's like you try to make as much like meaningful time as possible. So it's definitely different.
Yeah.
Definitely not how the system was designed by God, but you know, you gotta make it work.
Yeah, dude, you gotta work with the hand you're dealt, that's for sure.
Exactly.
No, that's cool though, that like, what is it, every other week or so?
Yeah, every other weekend. And then holidays we rotate, and then I get 2 weeks every summer. But
gotcha.
Like, currently, it's like I can only get her 1 week during the summer because I only have so many days off.
No, that makes sense. So it's interesting though, because it makes the time like more intentional.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to like if you're with her every day, then you're more prone to taking it for granted.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would agree. And it's like got its pros and cons. Like, pros are me and Nicole are newly married and we can still live our lives and travel. And then the cons are I'm missing a ton of stuff, like watching my daughter grow up and things. So it's a tough balance. I think as she gets older, it'll be a lot better.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, because how old is she now? Seven?
She's
six,
no,
four,
no, no,
three?
Three and a half.
Three. God, what?
Well, she's big. She's big.
Three and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Dude, my like concept of time.
It's gone.
Completely gone. That's great.
I love it.
Well, what else we got, brother? About time for another Coors Light.
That's on, baby.
Yeah.
What can we talk about? We can talk about the world's greatest boot, Tecovas.
Ooh. Yeah, you got some of those recently.
Yeah.
What kind did you get?
Yeah. I got the Kohl's. So they're the ropers. So they got the shorter top and then the smaller heel.
Yeah.
I like them. Because you got the alligator also, but you got the bigger.
The alligator, they're the cowboys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, us people that are 5'11 have to get the cowboys. That way we're over 6 feet, since some women's criteria is you have to be over 6 feet. So
that is true.
I never take those boots off, and that way I always qualify.
Now you're
That's
talking.
The key.
Yeah, I looked into them. I'll probably get my next pair will probably be the cowboys.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how comfortable it would be over time.
Yeah. There's really not a huge difference. It's like
yeah,
a quarter of an inch maybe.
Like and
it's not a whole lot.
I like how on the ropers the sides of the boot don't go up as high.
Yeah. They probably fit with like more pants and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. That was my thinking. So I was like, I'm gonna snag those and then I'll continue more. But I'll never buy a boot to wear out that is not a Tecovas.
Why are you so loyal to Tecovas?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm loyal since I just got my first pair, but I think they're so much more comfortable. Like I had Ariat's.
Well, that's like comparing a freaking Toyota to a damn Ferrari.
Well, sorry. I don't know a ton about boots, but I had some Ariat's and like I probably had them since I was a sophomore in high school. And then 2 years ago, like the heel fell off and they were comfortable, but they were nowhere. And these things were broken in good and they were nowhere near as comfortable as these right out the store.
Yeah. No, I would make the argument that Tecovas is probably the least expensive quality boot. Like, the value of them is solid.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're somewhat comparable to, like, the really high-end boots without the price tag.
Yeah.
My only complaint about the company is that the shoes are made in Mexico.
Yeah, I saw that, which kind of bummed me out, but I was like, honestly, who cares?
Leon, Mexico, which, shout out to Mexico, I guess.
Hey, shouts out to
them. Better
than
China.
Oh, that's a fact. If they were made in China, I wouldn't buy them. That's for damn sure.
That's probably where the Ariat's or whatever are made.
That's probably true.
Or somewhere near.
But I will say I will never, like, work in the yard or anything with my Tecovas.
No, like, those are, like, nice. Yeah, that's the thing. The other ones are, like, work boots.
Yeah. I like riding boots, I'll probably get some Ariat's again. And I'll just use those for work and whatnot, but... Like, I see people all the time, like, Tecovas will share something, people working in their Tecovas, and I'm like, that's the kind of money I want. I want to be working in $500 boots.
Heck no. I want to be hiring somebody to work while I'm wearing my boots someplace else.
Well, you're still going to work at some point. I don't think, even if I was, like, Jeff Bezos rich, I would still have to, like, maintain either my yard, something. Like, yeah. I couldn't not, like, do manual labor. In some like extent, like I couldn't do it. I'd die.
I tell you what, own a landscaping company for 7 years and your entire perspective will freaking change. If I never touch a rake or anything like that ever again in my life, I'm happy. Well, I mean, I'll do it and I'm very skilled at doing it nonetheless, but if I don't have to do it, to hell with that.
Yeah.
Even cutting grass, dude.
I like cutting grass. It's just like, I mean, granted, you did it for, like,
thing.
Your job.
It's nice to do it, like, once a week on the weekend or whatever.
Yeah.
To do it for a living for 7 years.
Yeah, that would be, yeah.
That's why, like, if you ever go through a neighborhood and you'll see the landscaping, like, truck that's, like, parked where they live, their yard is always the worst.
Yeah.
It hasn't been cut in a freaking month and a half. Landscaping's atrocious. It's like, by the time you get home, like, the last thing you want to do is your own.
Yeah, I agree. I agree for sure.
But it's a good business.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
It is.
You make some good money.
That's because it goes back to laziness and society. Ain't nobody wants to do nothing themselves. Nobody wants to get dirty. So, like, hey, if I just pay somebody to do this, I can just sit on the couch. Because I will say, time is the most expensive asset. But most people are paying you to come cut their lawn, and they're sitting inside watching Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Instead of doing something with their time that's actually productive. Like, if you're not going to do something productive, get your ass out there and mow the lawn.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I feel that. I feel that. Because, like, I do think that there's, like, I don't know what the word is, but there's some kind of, like, appreciation that comes from, like, whatever the task is at your house, like mowing the lawn or putting down new mulch or whatever the case is. I do think, like, you take more appreciation for it. And there is, like, I don't know. To me, cutting grass is very, like, therapeutic.
Yeah, I'd agree. And, like, there's nothing better than you get done cutting your lawn, you've got the lines in there, freshly edged and everything, and you're like, man, this looks good.
Yeah.
Also, if you cut your grass and you don't edge, you're a POS. Like,
dude,
you might as well not even cut it.
Yeah. Have to edge. That's the key.
I cannot stand it.
You can even... I would argue that you could even... edge once a week and cut your grass every 2 weeks and your yard was good.
Absolutely.
Edging is what makes it look good.
Absolutely. fresh edge. It's like getting your hair lined up.
Yeah.
Like, or lining up your beard.
Yeah.
If you don't trim your beard, but you line it up, it's still going to look pretty good.
What do you use to do that? Mine is like uneven.
I use the Philips Norelco One Blade.
That's to trim it? Well, how do you line it up, though?
Oh, that's to line it up.
Wait, the what? What's it called?
It's called like a Philips Norelco One Blade. Dude, it is money.
Dude, you got to send me this. Is it like a trimmer?
Yeah, it's like a trimmer. It comes with different guards if you want to like trim it. But like the main one is like it like goes directly on your skin. So like if you can like shave your arms, your body hair, whatever, and it'll look like
I'm good on
you
shaving
used
the arms.
A razor.
I'm good on the arms.
It'll look like you used a razor. So it's money. I mean, I think it's like $100, maybe 60. But honestly, there's nothing better than a good razor.
Dude, I need to get one of those. Because I have some like Philips something. But dude, the guard that you put on it is a piece of crap.
Oh, I already know which one you're talking about.
Dude, it's like one that you can just like keep sliding down.
Yep, and it's got the numbers on the back.
Oh my goodness.
See, I've got that one. Sucks. But I don't use the trimmer at all. See, this one's got like, it's got four different sizes, I think. And they close around the trimmer.
Yeah.
It's, dude.
Yeah,
it's
you got to send me that link, and I'm going to put it in the description.
Let's go.
Yeah, no, that I 110% need.
Yeah, it's life-changing. A good buzzer is good because I can't shave my face like with a razor because I'll break out. Like my neck is really bad about it, so I gotta buzz it. Even when I was in the Navy, I didn't shave with a razor.
You only shave with the...
Either a buzzer or like electric trimmer.
We should get paid from... Who owns them? Procter & Gamble?
Probably. Speaking of gambling
and everything else,
gambling needs to be legal in every state.
Let's hear about that. You're a huge Vegas fan. You almost moved to Vegas.
I did.
What were you gonna do there? Or should I even ask?
So, well, when I lived in Nashville, I did VIP bottle service. So, like, bring people in, Morgan Wallen, Jason Aldean, people like that all the time, and so. I would just, like, when they had the draft there is when I worked there, and we had Daniel Jones after he got drafted. We had his party. And so, basically, like, I realized how much money you can actually make doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, one of my friends, she used to work in Vegas as a bottle girl, and she told me, like, hey, if you want to, I can hook you up with some people, and you can go be a promoter there. So, I almost went to Vegas to be a promoter, but it was, like, Wilder was one... And I couldn't leave Wilder in Georgia and be in Vegas. I just couldn't do it.
I'm not going to lie. That would have been absolutely reckless.
Oh, absolutely. Already more reckless than I was. So.
Yeah, I think you made the good decision there.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today. I'd be sitting somewhere, but I wouldn't be here. That's for sure.
Probably be out in some detention center in Nevada somewhere.
Breaking stones in Nevada.
Yeah.
Nevada. Yeah,
is it Nevada or Nevada?
I think it's... I like Nevada better.
Just kidding.
But I think betting should be legal for sure.
Why? As
I think it just brings... The government's always talking about like needing revenue and blah, blah, blah. Not that they do anything good with it anyway. But like, was it Arizona that just legalized it?
Possibly.
And they did $770 million in 1 week in just gambling.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That is a ton.
Yeah, for one state, that's a ton.
And so I'm like, why? Like, why would you not?
I could get on board for that because I don't see like what's the reason for it not? Like, why is it illegal?
I really don't know. I think it has to do, honestly, this is just going off a whim because I have no idea, but I'm going to assume that it has something to do with like the mafia back in the day, like owning all of Vegas. And so they made it to where you had to go to Vegas to gamble, to give them money, essentially.
To go there because it was the only thing that... I mean, that's pretty much the only industry they have.
Yeah.
If they didn't have gambling and that atmosphere, that not even be...
Yeah, but now it's like you go to Vegas, which if you haven't been to Vegas, you should definitely go for everyone who's listening. God. But
I spent 6 days there last year, and I could not disagree more.
Hey.
it was fun, but go for like... 2 nights.
Well,
max.
You got to do more stuff. Like,
no,
you got to go to the
go
Grand
for less
Canyon.
Time than 6 nights.
No, five days is perfect. Oh, You can go see the casinos, you can go see Old Vegas, and you can go to the Grand Canyon.
And bring about 10 grand with you.
Well, it depends on how much you gamble with. I went when I was unemployed, and I brought $100 bill. And shout out to Nicole for taking me to Vegas.
Love that.
Absolutely love it.
That was freaking great.
But I think, just like the architecture of the casinos and stuff
That's
like
crazy.
Really cool.
That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
With like the Venetian and stuff.
Yes.
Where like you walk in, it's like freaking Italy.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
And then What is it in, I think it's the Bellagio, maybe it is the Venetian, in the shops when they've got the sky painted on there.
Yeah, dude, that's Venetian, yeah. Dude. Yeah. They have like the river that flows mm-hmm. through. That's exactly like Italy, and then it has like the sky. Like you walk in, and like we walked in at nighttime, and you swear like you walked into different time zones.
Yep,
it's crazy, dude.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and just like if you're having an appreciation for that stuff, I would say like take some time, like and just appreciate it, and then go get drunk and gamble.
Go in every hotel.
Absolutely.
Like every single one of them is like a different vibe, different scene. Like it's so cool though, mm-hmm. and like the architecture is. The craziest I've probably ever seen.
Oh, yeah. In one place, absolutely. I'd agree. Yeah. In a place that's not like Italy or overseas that's so super old. Like, this is super modern stuff, but it doesn't feel that way.
Exactly. No, that's definitely one cool thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that got me was their food price.
Oh, yeah. Their food prices
my
are...
word.
That's they're on Miami level for sure.
Oh, dude.
Like, maybe a little more, too. Like, it's rough.
Yeah, it was minimum $100 per...
Yeah. Well,
which, granted, we were eating steak, like, every night.
Yeah.
But, you know,
we went to Hell's Kitchen when we were there, and I had the... God, what is that? Beef Wellington.
Yeah.
And that smacked.
I was trying to go to that place, but the people I was with were like, no, like, we need to go to this other, like, place that's down by the water show. And I was like... I don't care about the water show. I want to go to Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's... The Hell's Kitchen, like, there, it's really, really good.
How many are there? Is there, like, a ton of those?
I don't think
so. I've
never
seen one before.
I think there's... I don't know how many there is. Maybe a handful, yeah. If that. I mean, he's got a bunch of restaurants, but there's only so many Hell's Kitchens.
Yeah.
Which there may only be one, maybe. But I think there's one in L.A. or somewhere in Cali
also. I'm sure. Yeah, so go to Vegas, people.
Yep, absolutely go to Vegas.
And legalize gambling.
And
I feel like that's
gambling.
Such an easy thing to do.
It should be. It should be a no-brainer.
I'm on board with the gambling now. Another thing that I think should be legal is weed.
I would agree.
I don't know if you agree. Yeah, you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I would never partake in it just because I just do not like
that's
it.
That's my thing. I'm not, yeah.
But I think...
But I do think... Like, I don't see why...
Yeah.
Like, for us to have tobacco and alcohol legal, I don't think you could reasonably make a case for why... Especially whenever you start reading up on the history of why it is illegal.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother freaking story for another day.
Yeah, I haven't read any of that. But I
good luck.
When I lived in Colorado, like my roommates grew weed and smoked weed. And well, in Colorado you can grow it.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
like for every person that lives in your house, you can have 6 plants.
Okay.
So like they grew it and smoked it and stuff, which they were just bums, but like, I don't really see the issue. Like you were saying, like, alcohol and weed, hand in hand, is like the same thing. If you get pulled over high, you get a DWI. If you get pulled over drunk, you get a DUI.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... And there's a lot more benefits, I think, to weed than there is alcohol. I mean, other than alcohol's lit.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that there's very few, if any, benefits of alcohol.
I mean, it's great. I love it.
No, I mean, yeah, like, I'm all for it, but I don't think there's any kind of, like... medical use of alcohol.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but I really don't think there is.
I mean, other than like maybe like cleaning something, like with the heavy alcohols. But yeah, I wouldn't say any medical any medical use.
Yeah, but go ahead and drink some of that.
Oh. Some moonshine, baby.
Yeah, go and get you some of that. Dang.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. I think weed should be for sure legal. Especially like medicinal. Like, I don't even know why that's even a question.
I don't even think that's an argument. For the amount of pharmaceutical drugs that we prescribe, like, every single day, for that to not be allowed is asinine.
Shit, we're pulling vaccines out our ass and boosters out our ass. Why can't we give people some blunts? Like, just let them have some weed. It's more research than the dang booster shots we're putting in our bodies. Like, come on now.
Well, so then... If we legalize weed, do all of the people in jail for simple possession or whatever, are they now free?
I would say you definitely need to put a, that would need to be like in the bylaws of making it legal. Like if you got arrested for having an ounce on you, which I don't really know what an ounce looks like in weed, but it sounds like a little bit. I think it's actually more than you think, but I think if you have an ounce or less and you're in jail for it, I would say you just need to get out. For sure, as long as there's no other crimes connected to it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one for me because there's two sides of it. There's one, it's legal now, so why would that person still be in jail for something that's legal? The other side of that coin is they knowingly did something illegal at the time of it being illegal.
That's true.
So the assumption is that person would potentially do something else that's illegal at the time of being illegal, whether it's going to be legal or not in the... That's the both sides of the coin that is, makes it difficult.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to say that, okay, yeah, like, it's legal now, so everybody is fine. But I don't think it's that easy.
You could also probably argue that, like, I mean, obviously, they'd be legalizing it for recreational as well. But you could probably also argue that, like, most of these people were doing it to either probably sell or get high. Which, I mean, teach their own, like, get drunk, get high, whatever. But I guess they could, like, argue, be like, oh, they weren't using it medicinally, so they should stay. So, I don't know. It'd be
a bag of worms. I mean, yeah. I personally think that a simple possession charge, a person, that's my personal opinion, whether that's right or not. But, I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand why it's even still illegal.
Yeah, it's crazy that, like, in Colorado, you can grow 6 plants per person per house, and other places like in Georgia, I'm pretty sure it's still illegal here. And then you get arrested if you have, what is it, over an ounce now? I think in Georgia you can have an ounce or less. Or
maybe it's half an ounce. I think the simple possession charge is extremely small here. It's like a $50 fine or something.
Yeah.
Like it's basically nothing.
Yeah.
Which that's my whole thing is like at this point, if you want weed, like you can so easily get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can literally even just fly to Colorado, like go get weed, fly it back here. Legally, you can get on that plane and fly it back here and like just do that. And why would you not want the tax revenue from it? Yeah. I have no idea.
Weed, gambling, mega legal, damn it.
Hey. Whenever I run for president, those will be the only two things I advocate for.
After my successful music career for 10 years, well, Dale's presidential campaign.
Yes. Yes. You can be my campaign
VP,
manager.
Yeah, campaign manager. There we go.
Yeah, you can be the VP too.
Roles reversed.
Yeah. That is great.
I love it.
All right. Well, I think we've had a good talk, and it's time for some freaking Mexican food and margaritas.
Absolutely.
Let's freaking get it. Thanks for coming on, bro.
Hey, I'm glad I could make it.
Heck yeah. Good talk, and I'm going to have you back on. Maybe you and Avery.
Oh, yes, sir.
That'd be good. I want to hear about some childhood.
Oh, yeah. Come on.